Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone that is here this morning, and if you are visiting with us, you are our honored guest, and we ask that you stick around after services so that we can get to know you. Now, typically at this time, Chris would be getting up here and giving us the lesson of the hour, but the elders have asked to take up a few minutes of his time to be able to read some statements. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dwayne Sutherland, and I am one of the elders here at Flint. We as an eldership have realized that we have never really established a statement of faith, and at this time I'd like to read that statement. The Flint Church of Christ affirms the glorious perfection of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is found in Matthew 3, 13 through 17, and Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We affirm all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This is found in 2 Timothy 3, 16. We affirm that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. We affirm that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, Ephesians 4:4 through 6. We affirm that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what has been done, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We affirm that salvation is by grace through faith, and that baptism into Christ is for the remission of sins. This is found in Ephesians 2:1 through 10, Acts 2:38, and Romans 6:1 through 6. We affirm that the highest command is to love the Lord, and that Christians must love their neighbor as they love themselves. Matthew 22:34 through 40, and John 13:34 through 35. We affirm that God gives life, and that all life is precious and begins at conception. Psalms 139:13, Genesis 4:1. Genesis 38:24 through 25, and Exodus 21:22. We affirm that God created us male and female, and to declare differently as an abomination to the Lord. Genesis 1:27, Matthew 19:4, Deuteronomy 22:5. We affirm that God ordained marriage and declared it to be between a man and a woman. Genesis 2:24. Matthew 19:5. We affirm that God has given us a pattern to govern our lives and our worship, and it is found in the Holy Scripture. Man-made doctrines are rejected by God in the Scripture. 2 Peter 1:20, 21, Galatians 1:11 through 12, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, and John 4:24. And this is from us, the elders of the Flint Church of Christ.
Good morning. I'm Audie Newsom, one of the shepherds of the Flint Church of Christ. If you were in Bible class this morning, or possibly last quarter, you heard Chris Bowers and Chris Presnell talking about the qualifications and qualities of elders or bishops, overseers, shepherds, whatever, they're all the same. I want to speak just a moment about the eldership. There are four words that denote earthly leaders of the Lord's church. There are a couple of others that are listed in the Greek that we use sometimes, but these four primarily. One of these terms is descriptive, elder. It denotes someone's of maturity in faith, if not necessarily in age. One is in office, which is bishop or pastor, and that denotes one that's in charge. One denotes a position which is overseer. That's the role of that's stating the work of the church. And one is a description of a task, and that's shepherd. And the shepherd gives the duties of the office. This appears to be the most important moniker to me, and probably the less emphasized. We read in Ezekiel 34 of the duties of the elders of Israel. Just recently, we were in a meeting with someone, and we were asked if we perform the duties of an elder, as described in Ezekiel 34. Our answer was, we try. I think that's about as apt as we can get. But I want to go over what Ezekiel says, the qualifications, not the qualifications, but the duties of a shepherd is. The shepherd should feed the sheep, strengthen the weak, help the sick and the injured, bring back the stray, seek the lost, rule with kindness and gentleness, protect the flock from the world and the wicked. Through the study of the names used for the office and the descriptive nature of, in the Bible, and the role of elders in the New Testament, we can surmise that the duties would be the same whether shepherding a flock of sheep, a people of the country, or a congregation of the Lord's church. We, the shepherds of the Flint congregation of the Lord's church, pledge to oversee your spiritual growth according to God's instruction in a loving and gentle manner. We want to thank you for putting your souls in our hands. That's why I'm trying to make it happen.
Let's bow together. Holy Father, we thank you for this congregation of the precious souls that have dedicated themselves to you. We thank you for their confidence in us as an eldership. We ask, Father, that we conduct ourselves always in complete accordance with your word as revealed to us through the Holy Scripture. Thank you, Father, for all of our deacons that work here with us so tirelessly, for our song leaders, our teachers, for every person that has a role in the work of this congregation, our missionaries. Please bless us all, Father, and help us to exercise our duties to our fullest. Father, we thank you for the mothers and fathers that are here that are concerned with the spiritual welfare of their children. We've entrusted part of that welfare to our teachers and us as elders. I ask, Father, that we would execute that trust pleasingly, effectively. Thank you for our young people who are the church, not the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. Ask, Father, that you'd bless them and help them to continue to grow and strengthen spiritually. I'm so thankful for their involvement and their example in our congregation. We thank you, Father, for our more mature members in the work that they do and for the work that they have done and for the great examples that they are. I ask, Father, that you bless them too and bless us all. Help us to be the congregation that you'd have us to be, and please magnify our influences that are in accordance with your will. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
If anyone has any comments or questions about anything that was said here today, we would welcome your comments and questions, either in a private setting or out there in the foyer where we do all of our talking. Thank you.
By the way, he didn't get a chance to introduce himself, or he didn't, but the last guy before Adi was Danny Thomas, and he is also one of our elders. Danny, you didn't introduce yourself, but I wanted to make sure that we made sure that we got that information. Most everybody knows that anyways, but we're very thankful. I want to say just a word quickly here about leadership, and it may be that this morning, instead of us trying to do the sermon that was out there, you just hang on to that. That'll be the sermon that we will utilize for this evening. But I want to say that it has been my privilege here at this congregation for the last 22 years to serve under men that I truly love and respect. And there have been a variety of them. Some of them are not with us anymore. And I certainly appreciated serving as a minister under them. I certainly appreciate serving under our current leadership, and I'm thankful for the godly men that they are and the love that they have for me and the shepherding that they do for my family. And I'm also thankful for those that have been our elders who may not be serving as elders any longer, but have been elders in the past and that I've served under. You have certainly been a blessing to me and a blessing to this congregation, and I want to thank you for your service. Obviously, this is not something that is easy. It is something that requires a lot of attention, and it is something that is vitally significant and serious and has to be taken seriously because of what's at stake. And what's at stake are the souls of the people that have allowed themselves to be shepherded by these individuals and these men while they're here on this earth. And so I thank you for being willing to take on that responsibility to try to govern and guide and lead and encourage and shepherd us according to God's Word. So I just wanted to say that this morning as well. Again, I want to thank you for being here today. I think that I want to take an opportunity to build on something that Chris was discussing at the Lord's table today, and I appreciate that very much as he began to talk about what we are here to do. And he went to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and how that Paul's admonition to the congregation there at Corinth, and I'm certain was his admonition to the other congregations he would help establish as they were putting in order the things that they needed to put in order, and one of those things would be the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And reminding them that as they did that, they were proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. And Chris was beginning to talk about that and discuss it. You know, it's been my privilege over several years to do some mission work and to go and to teach in some of the schools and in some foreign countries. And oftentimes it has been my privilege to teach on Christian evidences. And when I was going to teach on Christian evidences, obviously there are certain things that you're going to deal with. There are some scientific principles and some scientific ideas that we can look at that we can find in the Scriptures that attest to the fact that God's Word is true and it's certain, and we can rest on that. And you could find much better speakers on that topic, Kyle Butt and others, if you've had the privilege of listening to those individuals, that do a great job of Christian evidence lessons. But one of the things that came to my attention that I was very intrigued by is the witnessing of what has been taught here and how that serves as evidence to the fact that these things are true, that the early Christians truly believed in these things and they made a memorial, a remembrance, so that we could understand that that is the truth. And so there is Christian evidence in the things that we do today. Now, there are two rites that we observe even today that talk about and that help us to understand that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected. Now, we proclaim the Lord's death every Sunday, and that has happened since the first century on, every Sunday where the Lord's people have been meeting. They have been proclaiming the Lord's death. They have been testifying to the fact that we believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross for the sins of all humanity. He died there. He was buried in that tomb. And on the third day, as the Scriptures record, He was resurrected from that. And that serves as a testimony and a witness to those things and belief in those things for the rest of the world. And it's not something light for us to remember that and to think about that and to take that seriously. As we are partaking of the Lord's Supper and as we are communing with God, certainly we are there to reflect upon our lives. We're supposed to reflect on what Jesus did. But we are here as a testimony to the rest of the world. We believe in that event. And we believe in the significance of that event for the world. And so don't ever not think about how important the Lord's Supper is in all of those different facets. We are proclaiming the Lord's death. We are testifying to our faith. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe He's coming again. Till He comes again. Now that's the first. And then the second rite that we practice is the rite of baptism. Now, what is baptism? Well, we go over to Romans chapter 6. He said, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer would be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. When we think about that, when we become a Christian, when we are baptized, we are proclaiming to the world, we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are two pieces of evidence to the world that we believe in what Jesus Christ did, what He stands for. And you know, as I was teaching that class and I was beginning to read through all of that thing, you know, I don't guess it had ever just set in with me how significant those two things are. How significant they are as a testimony to everyone that's around. And how that even the writer and the author said, look at this. I mean, this is an evidence of Christianity and of the truth of Christianity that this continues to this day as it has continued from the time that the church was established. Our faith and our belief in that. And so, as we continue to teach that in order to become a member of the body of Christ, to be added to the church, to have your sins washed away, one must come and he must repent of his sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away those sins. In doing that, what are we doing? Well, we're doing what Romans chapter 6 says. It's a demonstration of our faith in what Jesus did. Now, the same is true with the partaking of the Lord's Supper. It is a proclamation that we believe in what Jesus did. This morning, it may be there's someone here that has not become a Christian. We want you to become a Christian. We want you to adhere to what Jesus says that you need to do in order to be right with Him. We want you to come forward. We want you to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection. Well, it's been commanded. It is for the remission of sins. It is so that you might be added to the body of Christ. In Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places are in Christ. In other words, when you're not in Christ, if you've not been buried with Him in baptism, if you're not baptized in Christ, as Galatians 3:27 says, then you're not a person who has the benefit of all of the spiritual blessings that are in Him. And so you need to have those blessings. And in doing so, you testify to the world, I believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and He rose again. This morning, I want to invite you to become a Christian. I want you to do those things that you need to do to be right with the Lord. And I want you to serve as a testimony today in what Jesus did for all of us. So if you need to respond to the invitation, we give you the opportunity to do that now while together we stand and sing.